Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. We are honored to be with you today. Thanks for joining us for this last lesson in Exodus. Next week, we begin our study in 2 Corinthians. However, today's lesson is a longer section of verses from Exodus 40, titled, Preparing for Worship. I don't know what comes into your mind when you hear that title, but I was reminded of the passage I heard this morning as I was listening to Acts. In chapter 17, Paul is preaching to the people of Athens. Keep in mind, these people were very religious. They had many gods. They even had an altar to the unknown God. They worshiped many gods, but Paul was there to point them to the true God. He shares with them passionately from his heart and gives a very good reason for why you and I and everyone else should worship and live for the true God. Our title is Preparing to Worship, and the motivation Paul gives to turn to Jesus is powerful and will lead you and I to a life of worship. First, I'll put it in my own words. He tells the Athenians, the God who created everything is near to each of us. We are his children, and now this God is commanding all people everywhere to repent. Then he gives them, and us, a great reason to repent. This is the preparation part. He explains, we must repent because God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by Jesus, whom he has appointed. And he proved this will happen because he raised Jesus from the dead. The serious thing the people of Athens needed to prepare for was the coming judgment. This warning also applies to us. Face it, we are guilty. Every one of us has done wrong. We have failed to live up to God's standard. Knowing this and admitting it is the preparation part. Turning to God and accepting the sacrifice of Jesus is the worship. I hope the connection is clear. Our worship comes from a proper understanding of who we are without Christ. We understand our guilt before a holy God, and that leads to a lifetime of service and worship. I think you can see my thought process and where I went with the title of this lesson. It's also a clear reminder to every Christian for why we serve him, and to every non-Christian for why you should live for him. Without more from me, let's hear from Pastor J. Mark and see what he has to say about the rest of today's lesson.
It's a valid observation that all people have the desire to worship something. Down deep in our hearts, we have yearnings for God. We have yearnings for something bigger than ourselves, and we are created that way. When God created Adam, he made him in his image and after his likeness. And I believe that is the reason why we have these longings deep in our hearts to worship. Now, it is too bad that our worship is sometimes directed toward the wrong object. Sometimes we haven't made the proper preparation for worship. You know, some religions go through great ceremonies. They spend long periods of time and go through various forms as they try to cause their God to pay attention to them. But the true God, Jehovah, not only desires our worship, but he also tells us how to come to him in an acceptable way. In this final section of teaching from the book of Exodus, God told Moses how to prepare for worship. The details are found in Exodus chapter 40 and verses 17 to 38, where God gave instructions for the children of Israel on how to worship God. So, to help you prepare to worship, follow along as I read Exodus chapter 40 and verses 17 through 38. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was set up. And Moses set up the tabernacle, and fastened its sockets, and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and set up its pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward, outside the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation, over beside the table, on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil, and he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash with. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and feet at the laver. When they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses set up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. And so Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. From these verses, you and I can learn the required steps that need to be taken when we're preparing for worship. Moses took the first step by erecting the tent. He had been given detailed instructions by God how to build and administer this place of worship. Each part of the tabernacle had been made according to the pattern that Moses had been given by God on Mount Sinai. And so now the tent was completed and it was set up. The ark was placed in the holiest place, the table of the bread of the presence was placed, and the lampstand and the golden altar were placed, all of those in the holy place. All of these were placed inside the tabernacle, and each article, or each piece of furniture, was in its place exactly like the Lord had commanded Moses. So there was an order about this preparation. God wanted order in his worship. This is illustrated by the tent and all its furnishings. And I would like to remind you that God still desires order in worship today. And then Moses took the second step in preparing for worship by cleansing for service. This was, first of all, symbolized by the altar of burnt offering, which was at the door of the tabernacle. And then secondly, it was symbolized by the laver or basin between the tent of the congregation and the altar, where the priests were to wash their hands and feet. The altar of sacrifice was where cleansing was accomplished for the soul and the spirit. It's where the offerings were made for sin. The burnt offering and the fellowship offering were made here at the altar of sacrifice. And then the laver for washing stood between the altar and the tabernacle itself. Moses and Aaron were to wash their hands and feet before they entered the tent of the congregation. No one was to go into the place of worship without cleansing, without the sacrifice for cleansing of the spirit, and without the cleansing of the body, the washing of the hands and feet. You know, God desires cleanliness in worship both for the soul and for the body, even today. God wants us to come to him now with the cleansing of the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible in another place commands us to have our bodies washed with pure water. God desires yes, even requires cleansing for worship. How do you prepare for worship? I urge you to cleanse your spirit and your body for the service of God. And then Moses took the third step in preparing for worship by enjoying the cloud of glory. You know, this is especially beautiful here at the close of the book of Exodus. After everything had been completed, the Lord came down in a cloud of Shekinah glory and filled the tabernacle. What did that say to the people of Israel? It said that God was present among them. The glory cloud covered the tabernacle, and that affirmed His presence with the congregation. That glory assured them of God's protection, because He was always there. He was always with them. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and the cloud remained on the tent of the congregation. That assured them of God's constant care and protection. And it also secured for them God's direction, because the Scripture says when the cloud was lifted, then they journeyed. When the cloud rested, they camped. God gave them directions by this glory cloud of His presence. They knew when it was time to break camp, and they knew when it was time to stay in camp because God's glory gave them that direction. It told them when to move and when to stay. God desires to live with us as His people even today, and He wants to protect us and to guide us. That glory cloud of the tabernacle tells us this. How precious it must have been to the people of Israel to see that the Lord was there, to be assured of His protection and direction. Now, we don't have a visible symbol like that today, but we can have the witness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When we prepare ourselves to worship God, we will receive some of these same assurances: God's presence, God's protection, and God's direction. God is not far away from us. He is near. He wants to be near, and He wants to be real to you, just as real as He was to the people of Israel. You can make your peace with God. He can cleanse your heart, and you can enjoy His presence. He is real. He is close by. He can be near to you if you turn to Him. He has already made His first step toward you by inviting you into His family through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must now take your step toward Him and prepare your heart to worship Him.
Thanks, J. Mark, for these encouraging thoughts from Exodus 40. Our prayer is that you will go toward Him and live a life of devotion to Him, because He is worthy. As I mentioned before, this is our last lesson from Exodus. Next week, we will begin our study in 2 Corinthians. We hope you will continue to join us. However, if you would like a copy of today's teaching, or any of the teaching you've heard from Exodus, please let us know. Here is how you can contact us. A good way is email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. On our website, you can find other helpful resources and more programs like this one. So please look around while you're there. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Thanks so much for joining us. This brings us to the end of our program and to the close of our Exodus study. We heard many verses and spent a lot of time in Exodus. It's only fitting to close with one of the best verses from Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you.